greetings, my friend. You are interested in the unknown, mysterious, unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
I watched a figure walk out of that doorway, cut across the hall, and walk into the wall.
And I was scared. I thought they was coming toward me, you know, because they acted like they was going to come toward me. And something like that just, you know, just freezes you, just puts you right there, you know, in the spot. You know, you don't know what to do.
There's so many different types of aliens. I mean, billions. As far as planets like Earth, there's billions upon billions of planets like Earth.
Shifted in front of their eyes from a human form into a reptilian form and then back again.
I'm open-minded about a lot of strange phenomena.
For the past 3 years, a large number of perfectly sane and reliable people have been involved in this flying saucer business. Even those of us who have never seen one have become involved. We read about them, talk about them, wonder about these reports of strange phenomena in the sky.
Mountains. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren, the show that explores today's mysteries and the groundbreaking knowledge of tomorrow.
Tonight, well, here we go again. It is April, the weirdo month. Bad luck sometimes. Remember what happened last April? To those of you listening around the globe, welcome to the top-rated Saturday night talk program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. We don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. It is April 2nd, 2011. On this date, in 1513, Juan Ponce de Leon first set foot on and named Florida. He was the first European known to do so. Not such a good day for some of the Native Americans. On this date in 1917, President Woodrow Wilson asked Congress for a declaration of war on Germany. That became World War I, leading to World War II, etc. And on this date in 2006, 60 horrible tornadoes swept across the southeast, killing many people, including 29 in Tennessee alone. Thank you for joining us. And now let me tell you just how crazy your world has become. We have a story in from Harlem, New York. Apparently, relatives of a 76-year-old woman became concerned after they had not heard from her for a few days. So the relatives came over to her apartment. They gave themselves access. Inside, they found her 21-year-old grandson on her bed, engaged in some controversial activity with a 20-year-old woman, and they demanded to know, "Where's Mama? Where's Mama?" Well, he just ran away. The woman he was there with actually stayed behind, didn't know what was going on. They searched the place, opened her closet, and found, yes, his grandmother's corpse in the closet, crammed down under a pile of clothes. Right now they're trying to determine the cause of death. Investigators have found some signs of hemorrhaging around the lady's eyes. Looks like she might have been strangled. Some are suggesting that he was maybe trying to collect her checks and cared nothing more for her than to cram her in the bottom of the closet. Oh, it's hard to imagine how people get away with this stuff as long as they do. We have all kinds of bizarre and, as far as we know, absolutely true stories to share with you tonight. You know, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. Tonight, we have Lauren Warren, who's getting the show off to a start, and soon will be joined by producer Forrest Connor. But tonight you're going to hear about the fantastic, and I want you to know this is the time of year when very bizarre things traditionally happen. It's the month of April. I don't know exactly why, but this is traditionally a month rife with weird occurrences and bad luck. So a bit later, I will explain my theories and help you prepare for what is sure to be one for the almanacs. Because April is a time when all of these bizarre and odd events seem to coalesce and coincide together. And we have got also to help us discuss these unusual experiences, a woman you all know very well. Let's hope her microphone is on over there. Yeah, there we go. Miss Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, here's one thing, Shelley, that perplexes me a bit. You see, I've been doing this show for around 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows I'm the guy that you go to talk about the strange stuff, some of the more novel stuff that's happening in the area. And yet, for some reason, sometimes something happens just down the road, and nobody tells me about it. I can't understand this.
They think you already know that you are plugged in.
I found out a few days ago the guy who invented super glue died less than an hour down the road, Kingsport, Tennessee. 94 years old. Nobody told me the man who invented super glue lived right down the road. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've passed through Kingsport, Tennessee. Nobody had made me aware of this fact, but his name was Harry Wesley Coover Jr. Can you imagine how perfect it would be for me to get the scoop from the man who invented superglue?
Exactly.
This fella was actually working for the Eastman Kodak Company in Rochester, North Carolina, or New York, that is, as a young chemist. That was back during World War II. They were researching chemicals to find an optically clear plastic for precision gun sights. And he told a newspaper in 2005, quote, "The damn problem was everything was sticking to everything else. We had a hard time using it in molds." And he got the bright idea that we can take this problem and turn it into a wonderful solution for mankind. And he ends up inventing super glue.
Super glue.
Yep. Yep. And so now, you know, everybody knows what super glue is. We use it as just some type of a generic term nowadays.
You're so, me. You get your fingers
stuck
together. Thanks,
audience. The guy who invents super glue is dead now. I'll never get to interview him. On the other hand, if anybody can pull off an interview with someone who is deceased, I'm your top choice there, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've got to take a break. When we come back, yeah, I'll tell you a bit more about why things are getting so weird this time of year. We're really going to dig into that deeply during the second hour of tonight's show. And then, of course, we'll have the Dark 30 hour when we get into some of the more outrageous and controversial material, because this is the show where the unusual becomes usual, where we explore the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company every Saturday night. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
To go back once again, back to the place where no one wears a frown.
once more those super special just plain folks in my hometown. No fella could ignore the little girl next door. She sure looked sweet in her first evening gown. Now there's a charge for what she used to give for free in my hometown. I remember Dan, the druggist on the corner. He was never mean or ornery, he was swell. He killed his mother-in-law and ground her up real well, and sprinkled just a bit over each banana split. The guy that taught us math, who never took a bath, acquired a certain measure of renown. And after school he sold the most amazing pictures in my hometown. That fellow was no fool who taught our Sunday school, and neither was our kindly Parson Brown. I guess I better leave this line out just to be on the safe side. In my hometown.
Hey, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Yeah, things are getting odd in our hometown here. And, you know, if you're experiencing any kind of technical issues, that's not at all surprising. April is a bad luck month. That's the whole point. I will explain to you later. Some people are saying in the chat room, I want this MP3. How do I get it? Tom Lehrer. This is the same guy who did poisoning pigeons in the park. And I always love his sense of sardonic satire. And, you know, let me just tell you, I do have, as you know, a correspondence going on here with Travis Walton, the abductee, and he is going to be on our show. The show will be airing, far as we know, next Saturday, April 9th, 2011, 9 p.m. We might have him on then, but the problem is Travis Walton, he speaks at a lot of events, and he is often gone on Saturday nights because that's when many conferences are taking place. So I'd like to do a live interview with Travis Walton. He was the guy who was the subject of the movie Fire in the Sky, one of my favorite films. Have you seen it yet, Shelley?
No, not yet.
Yeah, you've got to see this movie.
Is it on Hulu? Do you know?
Is it what?
Is it on Hulu? Can I pull it? No idea.
I mean, I don't know. But
somebody in
I'm
the
sure
chat
Netflix
room knows.
Has got it. I'm sure. I don't know about Hulu, but I know that Netflix must have it. Or the local, you know, video store. But nonetheless, if we can't do a live interview with him, we'll schedule something that we can pre-record and put on there. But, Shelley, you probably heard that there was a guy who got electrocuted the other day in McDowell County, which is right here in western North Carolina. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he was at a Duke substation trying to steal copper wire. And he was only 19 years old. He was there with another fella who was 31 years old. Who knows what those guys started digging into. The 19-year-old is dead now. So the 31-year-old is being charged with involuntary manslaughter. Now, we've talked about the fact that since you own Wright's Coin Shop, there right. are people who come in there with gold and silver. Do you know anything about the copper market? Is it so valuable that guys are willing to die for copper wiring
it
now?
It is that valuable.
Really?
It is. And people call me all the time and say, hey, can I melt down my copper penny? And no, you can't. There's a law. You can't do that. And yeah, but it really is that big of a market right now. And it's a shame that people are losing their lives over it.
Okay. Well, it's not worth your lives.
No, it is not.
You know what? I took a Vortex tour earlier this month. This week, actually. Because now it's April, so that'd be earlier in the week. That was March when I took the Vortex tour. I don't want to talk too much about the Vortex tour at this particular point because I have more information about that I'm going to be posting soon. But do you know what a Vortex supposedly is? What would you call, what do you think a vortex is?
Well, I think of a vortex as a concentration of energy in certain places.
Because people talk all the time about Western North Carolina having vortexes everywhere.
Right.
And I didn't know exactly what to think about the vortex thing until I went to Sedona, Arizona. And out there, they promote vortexes all over the place. And now the same people who were denoting that area as being a vortex centralized area is now saying that Western North Carolina has vortexes that are just as powerful. Now, the bottom line is we know that there are channels of energy that travel into and out of planet Earth.
Right.
And so since that we are not foreign to this environment, you know, that we didn't just pop in from another planet like aliens. We have grown up in this system on this planet. And so if you go as a human to one of these sites where energy is sort of spiraling out of or into the planet, you can connect your consciousness into it and there can be exchanges of energy, downloads of information, and these are often considered sacred sites.
You're supposed to recharge you. You're supposed to feel just wonderful. And
yeah, when you talk to the people who are vortex enthusiasts, mm-hmm. they will admit freely this is something that is completely intuitive. Because, I mean, there is no scientific evidence to indicate that there are places where you can measure something that's moving out of or into the Earth.
Right.
So, I must, however, confess that when you go to some of these sites they claim are vortex sites, at very least, they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. You do sense this, replenishment of energy there. You know, it feels like that. You know, if you wanted to commune with nature, you could meditate easily. So, you know,
some places you are supposed to feel good, you are supposed to be recharged, but sometimes they just knock you off kilter and kind of knock you on your butt too.
Well, see, here's one thing that makes this all very interesting to me in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Brown Mountain, I can't tell you how many times, camped up there, brought scientists there from all over, been on all kinds of TV shows. You and I did a thing recently on National Geographic and right. Discovery related to Brown Mountain. And when you go there, there are these balls of light that are bouncing around the trees at night. Nobody can explain exactly what they are or why they are there. When something like what we think is an electrical discharge is being produced at Brown Mountain, that is to say, a ball of light that is the product of an energy field, it makes you think that if you understood the energy field enough, you could actually do the opposite, that you could destroy the ball of light. And that's why it's so interesting. We have this story from Harvard University where there are scientists right now who think that they can actually extinguish fires using beams of electricity.
Cool.
To zap them. Now, I've always known this should be possible because if you, again, are able to see fire created by electricity, you ought to be able to destroy fire with electricity. And every summer, and it's getting to be that time, out west, you have these fires that just roar all across the plains. I mean, I have flown over the western part of the states at the right time of year, and you just look out of your airplane, and there's just a raging fire somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And people who are familiar with this say, oh, yeah, it's just, that's what happens. They're just wildfires, and it's natural. They just burn a bunch of stuff up. So if you could figure out a way to just, like, vaporize these flames without having to dump some kind of powder or some moisture on them, that would be a big, big development for mankind. I also think you might be able to do the same thing to break up ice. So when you have a very snowy, icy situation, you might be able to, you know, separate the particles that hold those molecules together. Anyway, right now, the story from Harvard is they're saying it's too early to replace a firefighter's hose or an office sprinkler with a zapping wand, but they really do have a wand right now that is being used to knock out fires. We have to take another break. When we come back, I'll tell you a bit more about that, and also why that, amazingly enough, the University of Kansas says that we may be facing a vortex of death right now.
Say it ain't so.
You don't want to hear that on the radio.
A vortex
of death because of what's happening with the solar flares. So when we come back, I will explain how all this is sort of leading us up into bad luck April. That month when terrible things happen, you know, the Titanic sinks, wars start, Hitler is born, you know, Columbine and Waco and the Deep Horizon or whatever they call that, the oil rig went down. All this stuff always seems to go down in April. So prepare yourselves, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll continue right after this. It's Speaking of Strange. North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Next hour, we are going to dig into why the month of April is such a bad luck month. But sometimes it's not just bad luck. It's a matter of interpretation. It's just a time when a lot of weird stuff happens. A lot of strangeness goes down. But sure enough, there is concern over what's happening with the environment at the same time. And see, you've heard on this show about the magnetic field shift. You've heard about the accelerated solar cycle. And the more we understand about how that all fits together, the better. And it's pretty cool that there are some researchers here at Harvard who are saying that they can apply a constant electric field to small flames, and they can affect them. But when they start oscillating the fields, new mechanisms come into play, and they lead to much stronger effects. Effects that can sort of blow a flame out, but in the interior. You see, what they're saying is basically when you blow on a flame, that you are affecting it by blowing oxygen from the outside into it, and it sort of overwhelms the flame, and it's just too much for all the little components in the flame to stick together. But when they apply an oscillating field to it, this actually starts breaking the charges apart inside the flame, and so the flame extinguishes itself. This makes perfect sense to me. They're saying the problem is you have to have a significant source of energy to affect any kind of a significant flame. So I don't know how practical this is going to be, but it's quite intriguing to know that we might be getting, you know, some greater understanding of how that the electrical and electromagnetic environment is related to flaming plasma energy, right? And that's of a special interest when we consider that right now we are coming into a very active solar cycle that's going to climax for the time being in 2012. Of all years, 2012. In fact, Shelley, you've never been to Phoenix, Arizona, right?
Right.
I was in Phoenix. I've been there a few times. I was there a couple years ago. And some of the people in Phoenix, they laugh about the fact that they're all crazy because their brains are fried and scrambled by all the heat. And, I mean, you've got to put on an oven mitt to open your door.
That is, you know, insane.
On your car, you know, you can't. You have to plan ahead. Well, it yesterday hit 100 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the second earliest date on record for it hitting a temperature that high, 100 degrees.
Oh, so bad for them.
So they say that the earliest time this happened was March 26th of 1988. And the temperature also broke a record for yesterday, April 1st. Anyway, the previous record all time, I guess, considering time of year, was 96 degrees there in 1966, this time of year. But the temperatures over the weekend are expected to be lower. Anyhow, who knows if this is just freak weather pattern or if it's connected to something larger, but here is the story I alluded to. Scientists are saying that humanity may be facing a vortex of death. Pretty strong words, right? From the University of Kansas, Professor Raymond Wheeler says he at first almost stumbled onto the frightening data. The connection was initially discovered by a Russian scientist, Alexander Chizhevsky, basically that solar storms trigger conflict, wars, and death. Now, we're talking about the way that humans, I presume here, are affected by these massive surges of electromagnetism. Chizhevsky found, after intense research, that the rise and fall of solar activity interacting with the Earth's magnetic field causes mass changes in humans' perspectives, moods, emotions, and behavioral patterns, all affected by sunspots and solar flares. Building upon the Russians' research, this guy Wheeler applied a numerically weighted ranking system, and he has been assessing the correlation and says, indeed, with the 11-year sunspot cycle, the results are revealing and horrifying. That when the 11-year solar cycle peaked, so did human unrest, uprising, rebellions, revolutions, all-out wars between nations, almost as if the intense magnetic upswing directly affects the human brain and has been driving mankind into deadly emotional tantrums and frenzied killing sprees. So you're talking about more rockets being launched, murders increase, bloody wars, rebellions, all that stuff around the globe. And this guy, Wheeler, went back and found this pattern was consistent as long ago as starting 2,500 years ago, okay? 2,500 years ago. You can see over the years a correlation here. Like clockwork, they're saying. Now, you can call it magnetic madness. It's unmistakable, and I mean, this is a very strongly worded report here. And, you know, I just saw this report today, and when they're saying stuff like, the world goes mad, you know, the worst possible consequences, it's almost hard to believe. We know there is fear-mongering, but on the other hand, you can almost understand why this kind of correlation could occur, because too much magnetism affects the brain in weird ways. There's a professor, Dr. Michael Persinger, whom I have studied just in my paranormal research, who was able to take people and subject them to various electromagnetic frequencies and give the person a paranormal experience. That person will see ghosts, will say, I've been abducted by aliens, will actually, you know, have these profound, dreamlike, yet realistic encounters. So I've talked about my dream activity picking up.
Right.
So maybe on the better end of the stick, your dreams pick up. Yeah. On the worst end, if you're a violent person, this is going to be an opportunity for you to, you know, feel inspired to go out and do horrible things. That's a bit spooky.
It's scary.
So, I'm not sure, but I do know one thing without a doubt. The solar cycle is going to maximize very soon. And as we've discussed, we live in a world now that is delicate, that is vulnerable, that is fragile, electronically speaking. And if you take the fact that, according to this report, and, you know, we can all go out there and try to verify it for ourselves, if people are going to become more agitated and aggressive and more impatient and so on, and then at the same time you take away those devices that they've been using to comfort themselves, to express that agitation, to give themselves some sense of solace, if all that just gets fried at the same time they're just ready to kick some ass, What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be even worse. They're going to go crazy. They will. And I have seen, you know, the aggression pick up at work. I have seen these things, and you tend to think, well, maybe it's the economy. Well, maybe that's just part of it, you know, part of people not having jobs. But, yeah, the solar activity. This is going to be scary.
So, okay, we're up on another break. When we come back, a couple stories that I'll end this hour with. One is about a Chinese farmer who says his sheep gave birth to something that wasn't a sheep. And also a product that is being recalled. Those are always fun stories. When you get to, it's, you know, it's like the lottery. Is this going to be something I've been using? Well, you'll find out when we return. And next hour, yeah, we're going to dig into why April is such a bizarre month. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual.
song.
Yes, it's Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, in the final minutes of hour number one. Forrest Connor is back in the studio, so he'll be taking over the helm from our trainee over here. Welcome back, Forrest.
Thank you, Joshua.
Hey, listen, when weird things are happening around the solar system, when the sun is reaching a climactic kind of, you know, energetic critical mass, maybe it's not just going to affect our moods. Maybe it's also going to affect our genes. I don't know, but here's a story from China about a guy who says that his sheep gave birth to something, but it wasn't a sheep. He says his sheep has given birth to a dog, a puppy dog.
Puppy dog?
That's what it says.
Sheep gave birth to a puppy dog?
Yeah. Says that the dog is covered in wool like a lamb, but the animal's mouth, nose, eyes, paws, and tail all resemble that of a dog's. They say that his sheepdog even behaves like a puppy when it plays. Now, of course, I use sheepdog there, you know, euphemistically. Say the gentleman named Liu made the unlikely discovery by accident. He says, quote, "I was herding the sheep. I saw a sheep licking her newborn lamb on the grassland. The lamb was still wet." Anyway, he goes up to check on the lamb, was shocked because it looked so weird, like a cross between a sheep and a dog. He was frightened. Frightened! The horror! Says, "I've been raising sheep for 20 years. Never have seen such a creature." So some people are saying, surely this is just, you know, an abnormal lamb. Not a dog, really.
I want to see a picture.
I'd like to see a picture as well.
There's no picture?
I haven't seen a picture. Maybe I bet there's a picture out there. For those of you who are in the chat room, maybe Mobius will find one. We have a Facebook page, speakingofstrange.com, has a link to the chat room and all the fun stuff that we're up to. So, you know, if there's a picture, I know Mobius will find it. That's one thing about this show. If you spend your time listening to the show in the chat room, it almost becomes like a TV program because you get to actually see things that, you know, accompany the material we're talking about. Anyhow, I gave this a little teaser about a product that's being recalled. And some people get really paranoid about this. I won't name any names, but I know some people who just freak out when you're like, "What have you been using lately? Because guess what? I've got something awful to tell you about it." But this one, you could say, was kind of a dead giveaway. Shelley, you chew gum sometimes, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you're right off the bat, your risk factor is increased.
Yes.
Just because you chew gum. Now, you remember the big scare in the 80s with saccharin?
Yes.
Is saccharin in your gum, you know, you can die from... Now, I don't know how that all turned out, frankly. Did that turn out to be a big deal or not?
I don't think so. I never had any friends that died from chewing gum.
You never can tell. Nobody's going to admit. Well, this one, however, is a bit more of an obvious threat, perhaps, because this is called toxic waste gum.
What? Toxic waste gum?
And it turns out, and toxic waste gum is an actual brand name that's being used to sell gum. Turns out, it's made from toxic waste. Kind of a dead giveaway in a way. But
doesn't that have to go through the FDA or something before it can be put out on the market? Toxic waste gum.
It's made in Pakistan.
I was going to say China, but Pakistan.
Pakistan, yeah. Uh-huh. The FDA was the one who said, guys,
hello,
toxic waste gum, and it looks like also there is a type of gum called short circuits. It is toxic. It contains unsafe levels of lead.
Lead?
It's lead gum.
I'm sorry, it's not funny, but it. I can't believe this.
Chewing on lead. I believe that's why the ancient Romans were so crazy, because they were eating off lead plates, you know, and they mm-hmm. had lead silverware. So this could be another reason that people in your life might be acting a little funny right now. If they happen to be chewing toxic waste gum. So, you know, the whole story you can imagine for yourself. Bottom line is,
I'm safe.
If you know somebody chewing toxic waste gum, take it away from them. Trash it. Inform them you may have lead poisoning. When we come back, we'll be into the hour when we talk about why this month is especially volatile and has always been historically. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. The show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company every Saturday night. It's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren.